Hi, good afternoon, everybody, for a change. It's the afternoon I'm recording this year that I had initially tried to convey last night at my daughter, Jean Devorah, and our new chassan, Yehuda Deitch, at their engagement party. So wanted to briefly reiterate or discuss the concept that Moshe was an anav mikol adam. It sounds so strange to say to somebody else, hi, I'm an anav, I'm a humble person. It doesn't sound like the person is humble at all. So in order to appreciate what the Torah is conveying, we also have to understand the context in which this messaging is delivered. And also to distinguish in terms of terminology, what is humility and what is an alternative approach through the lens of Rashi, what the Torah is seeking to convey. So humility means that I look at other people as being less, I am less than those other people. Meaning I see other people and I see how great they are. But my own self, I don't see such greatness and I feel inferior to them. And as a result of that inferiority complex, my behavior towards those that I revere or look up to is totally, one of a superior to that of somebody who is inferior. That's not a very healthy way of living. The second explanation is when we look through the lens of the Netziv brings down that it doesn't mean humility. If you look at Rashi, it means like shiftless, like someone who is, so to speak, shafel, someone who's able to swallow, so to speak, the honor that normally would come to himself. It's a different mindset. And that is that meekness means that a person sees in themselves greatness, just like he sees greatness in others. He understands that Hashem has blessed him with unique talents and attributes and skill sets that cannot be easily replicated by anybody else. This person is a unique person. He lives the mandate. He understands Bishvili Nivra Olam. He has a certain level of confidence in his ability to succeed. And at the same time, he's able to look at other people with a similar level of respect. So it's humility, but it's two sides of the coin. In a sense that he sees the greatness of others, but he also sees his internal greatness. And that is a mila. That is a great attribute to have. However, in his external relationships, he is shafel, which is that he makes himself lower. He doesn't seek to have the type of acknowledgement or the type of praise or the type of recognition that folks would normally desire to have. So, for example, when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was Nifta, they wanted to find a replacement, and Rabba and Rabbi Yosef were the two candidates. Rabba got the position, Rabbi Yosef didn't, and Rabbi Yosef went about his life for the rest of the years that Rabba led as a very simple person, even though he was very great. So he brought himself his own Sidurim and Chamashim, and he didn't ask anybody for any favors, but he always gave a lot of respect to Rabba. And so it is in this case with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, being the person who is constantly speaking to Hashem, Pe'al Peh, was made privy to a conversation from Aaron about Miriam being frustrated that he's never home to be with his wife Tzipora because he's constantly in communion with Hashem. And Aaron conveyed this over to Moshe, and Moshe took it as it was feedback. Now, the feedback, however, was Lashon Hara. So it ended up becoming that she spoke Motzi Shemra, whatever it was, Rachil, so I forget exactly what it was, but the definition or the designation of what was said, and Miriam had Tzaras, so she had to leave the camp for 7 days. So two or three points on this. Number one, the fact that we learn that a great person can get Tzaras is already demonstrating to all of the Jewish people that there's no one that is above, so to speak, the law. Everyone is equal in the eyes of Hashem. And that's a beautiful message in and of itself. Second is that Moshe Rabbeinu, in his position of quote-unquote power, may have said that he was upset. How could someone speak poorly about him? After all, isn't it more important to speak to Hashem? Where is the requirement to trade off speaking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu versus speaking to one's own spouse? So maybe Moshe could have made that argument, but he didn't make that argument. He actually took the other side. And when the second he found out that Miriam had Tzaras and that she had to leave the camp, he didn't say, oh, it's coming to her, or she deserved that. She spoke about me. How could anyone speak about me in such a way? No, not at all. The opposite happened. The opposite happened is that Moshe Rabbeinu said the most powerful tefillah, which is what we say during davening on Shabbos. The Sephardim say it. Kel na rafan Allah. And there's a beautiful song that goes along with that. But that's what Moshe was. Moshe was an anav because he saw the greatness in his sister Miriam. He understood where she's coming from. He respected her opinion. Granted, it wasn't maybe the best way to communicate, but he understood that she had good intentions. She had the same well intentions when she went to her father and she said, you know, Abba Amram, you are worse than Paro. You're the one who's taking Jewish lives because Paro took out the boys and he killed them. But you are destroying an entire generation by not allowing any boys or girls to come into the world. Because when you divorced your wife, Yocheved, so all of Sheva Levi divorced their spouses. And then what will happen with our future? What will be of us? And then Amram remarried Yocheved, and then Moshe was born. So you see from the very beginning, before Moshe even came into the world, he had a sister who was a mug in Avram, so to speak, a defending shield. And it's because of this defense that Moshe entered into the world. So that's point number two, is that Moshe understood the source of the discontent. And he still davened for his sister. And the third point that I wanted to highlight is that when Miriam was removed from the camp, the Klal Yisrael did not move until Miriam came back into the camp of Israel. And that is such a powerful lesson. It is a powerful lesson for us to remember that there are times when people do things that they should not be doing, but while they're away, they're very much present in our hearts and in our minds. And until that person comes back into the fold, that is only when we are complete. So Moshe said that no one's leaving, no one's moving. We have an operational organizational structure, and there's a penalty clause here, and it has to be actioned, and therefore Miriam unfortunately has to leave, but Klal Yisrael is not moving its camp until Miriam comes back into the camp. 7 days, 7 nights, until Miriam returned, and only then did Klal Yisrael move. Api Hashem Yisu, Api Hashem Yachnu, that there was a fire at night, there was a cloud by day, there was never a time when we didn't feel the presence of Hashem, and we didn't feel the presence of one another, so that we were, and always will remain, a close unit, a Knesset Yisrael, a family of Klal Yisrael, of Jewish people, sincere in their upkeep of mitzvos and masim tovim. And this is the guiding principle that sustains us throughout the millennium and will continue to sustain us through the coming of Mashiach. Have a wonderful day and a successful week.